Deals in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. When you walk through our doors, you feel it. The perfect mix of style, warmth, and confidence. And that's no accident. It's our team, polished, friendly, and ready to make your night special. From the greetings to the goodbye, we care about your experience as much as your meal. Sheridan's favorite place to connect, celebrate, and unwind. Frackleton's, where great food meets flawless service. Main Street in downtown Sheridan.
Back to school can mean back to sniffles, coughs, and other illnesses. Whether you or your family are navigating cold and flu season or seeking care for a sports injury, our team at Same Day Health and Imaging is here to care for you. Same Day Health and Imaging, located between Walmart and WyoVision, is open 7 days a week, offering walk-in services for illnesses, injuries, lab draws, x-rays, mammography, and more. Look for the white flags at 1470 Sugarland Drive. Our team looks forward to providing you with excellent patient-centered care. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can schedule an appointment at SheridanSameDay.com.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit eFirstFederal.bank.
Hungry at lunchtime? Then come to lunch together every weekday from 12 to 12:45. Enjoy a home-cooked meal, absolutely free. Just neighbors, good food, and a warm welcome. Whether you're short on funds, short on groceries, or just for a meal with friends, lunch together is for you. Join us at the First Congregational Church, 100 West Work. It's right across from the old First Interstate drive-thru.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program. Brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, January 5th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by the Hub on Smith Executive Director, Dustin Stevens. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great having you in here. I've been looking forward to having you in that seat for quite a while. Some questions right off the bat. Just get to know you.
Sure.
Where are you originally from?
Originally, I'm from Texas, which I call the sister of Wyoming because there's a lot of things that are similar. But I found the light and eventually came to Wyoming. But I've been all over the place. I lived in North Carolina at Fort Bragg and between deployments to Iraq. And
oh, wow. So, you're a veteran.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was with the 82nd Airborne Division for about 5 years as an infantryman.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, 1041st Engineers.
Oh, nice.
I was out of Afton. Yeah, we went Cobb Spiker.
Okay.
We did clips when we
okay.
were there.
Yep.
What were you doing?
Well, so my first deployment, we were kind of all over the place. We were in Al Asad, then Nasiriyah, then Alamara. We were running security patrols quite a lot. That was the vast majority of that then. My second deployment, we were in Fallujah and Ramadi, and I was in charge of the security for our battalion commander and sergeant major running their operations and kind of just making sure they were safe. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's always great having a fellow veteran.
Always.
Always great.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for your service.
Great. What got you into like a leadership position when it comes to the private sector? When you got home, kind of put the uniform down and got busy, what was your direction going forward from there?
Well, you're inadvertently hitting the nail on the head because for me, coming out of the military, there was a loss of something, right? There was a gap and I want to serve and I don't know how. So I tried the for-profit sector, failed miserably, was successful in it. But for me, in my head, my heart, I was still, there was a gap. And so that's where I felt like I was failing because I wasn't serving people like I wanted to. And so we actually joined a church in Texas, fell in love with that church, went on a short-term missions trip with that church. Fell in love with missions, and my wife and I and two kids at the time ended up moving to Haiti as missionaries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we lived in Haiti for about 5 years doing mission work, building churches and schools and running a guest house, and ended up having two more kids, so we have four kids, and really fell in love with that nonprofit service sector. Worked ourselves out of a job and then moved here to Wyoming and worked for a church for a little bit here in Sheridan at Ignite Wesleyan Church, and then got involved with the VOA. Was teaching, teaching moral injury with the VOA, and then kind of really worked myself into a job at VOA and jumped on board there and worked in the nonprofit sector there for a couple of years. And then this opportunity at the Hub opened up, and that's where I moved over there. And so it really was a gap from the military to finding what service looked like after the military. And this is where it kind of landed.
Yeah. As you work through this, mm-hmm. does that itch of public service get mm-hmm. scratched through this job here, mm-hmm. do you think?
That's a great question.
Is that really kind of fulfilling that for you?
It absolutely is. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, it is. It feels like, I don't know if that saying you feel like you're right in the pocket.
Yeah.
Right where you're supposed to be. And that's exactly what I've felt jumping into the nonprofit sector, especially at the Hub. Man, I just love that place so much. It gets into your blood.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get rid of it. And it really does scratch the proverbial itch for sure.
That's incredible. A lot of service performed and it led you here to the Hub.
Yep.
And you've been in this role, what, a couple months?
Since November 3rd.
Now, what has that transition been like?
Oh, man.
As you kind of learned, got a little bit of the ground underneath your feet.
Yeah, 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 really. A little bit. You know, there's that saying of drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
And with so many services at the Hub, I feel like I'm drinking out of 7 or 8 different fire hoses at the same time, which is great because the Hub does so much for the community. It's really nice to jump in to that side of things. So for me, I've been listening, I've been learning, I've been sitting with gratitude quite a lot with the people that work there, the volunteers that are there, and really trying to jump into the strong reputation that the Hub has in the community and just walking on that firm foundation that the Hub has already and just trying to build on top of that and really learn. That's where I've been at for the last couple of months, is learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, as you've learning, what stood out the most to you in your first couple of weeks that you weren't expecting as you stepped in?
I believe I knew how much people cared about the Hub. I didn't realize how much. And this goes with the employees that work there, how much heart is behind what they do. The volunteers that come in and day out and serve meals and jump in and do all sorts of things. And the community support I've been getting phone calls and emails from all over the place. It's been phenomenal to see that. And I knew how much the presence of the Hub meant to the community. I just didn't realize how much.
Yeah.
And so that was the surprise for me, is how much heart was behind this place and how much passion was behind this place. And it really is a blessing to come into that.
What is that like, walking into a position like this and then seeing the volunteers doing what they do on a daily basis? Was there a sense of kind of, holy cow, there's a lot of people involved in this machine?
Yeah, I didn't. You know, what's funny is one of the things, and we'll talk about it, I'm sure, here soon. One of the things that you don't realize, you get the Hollywood version of things. Like, it's like the military. You go overseas, people think, okay, the Hollywood version, you're going to be going shooting guns and doing all this crazy stuff. There's this Hollywood version of what it is. And I think the same can be said for senior centers. People think, okay, there's people in wheelchairs sitting in a corner and it's boring and it's terrible. It's not. This place is a thriving machine of different cogs and wheels and people. And what keeps this thing going is this very beautiful yet complicated picture of volunteers and employees and community support and the complication of it all. It really was, kind of going back to your question, that part was surprising to me and how it keeps the Hub going.
Mm-hmm.
And the input that people have and the passion that people have is bar none, probably the most I've ever seen in any nonprofit. And I've been in the nonprofit world for a while now.
NCO or CO?
For
you.
NCO.
NCO. Yep. Okay. So I can talk to you a little straighter. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I work for a living. So
exactly. Coming into an organization with such an established mission.
Yeah.
And right out, you know, did an amazing job getting everything kind of lined up, building this thing. How do you approach learning the culture and the day to day? For, you know, individuals out there who were in the military, I could pluck you from any unit and put you in another one. And you can adjust to that. You got to get used to the people.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the routine.
Right.
This is different. What was that like walking into that culture?
Well, you have to realize it's human services, I think, first of all, because jobs in the military, things like that, for us is security. It's doing this. It, there's your line items of what you have. I feel like with a hub, there's not line items.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very kind of up in the air. It's service. It's human services. So you're dealing with people after people after people after people. I mean, we gave over 112,000 meals last year. I mean, that is incredible. And you think about the people behind those meals is what I see. Or the amount of people we serve was over, I think, 3,200 people last year. And you see that number of people. And each one of those individuals is completely different needs, completely different ways of looking at things. And so coming into it, to answer your question, I have to be really open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, completely open-minded coming into that and learning the culture. I mean, my master's degree is in intercultural studies. I love the culture side of things.
Oh, wow.
And so coming into that, you really have to... you have to be open to listen and not just hear, but really, really listen and buckle down and hear what people are saying and hear what the needs are. And it goes back to, I think of my kids in that little robot movie where you say, you see a need, you feel a need.
Yep.
And that's what I feel like the hub does, is they see a need in the adult community, older adult community. And then we fill that need. And that's what the hub has been doing for so long. And that's why the robust services are so frankly robust, is because they've seen that need and they've built that need.
And they believe in the mission.
Absolutely.
By believing in a mission, you really put your heart behind it.
Yep.
And you can see the difference from the individual who's just kind of present. Mm-hmm. And yes, their hands might be moving. They may be getting things done. But if you see someone who believes in the mission,
mm-hmm.
that heart carries a lot behind it. Now, if you were to tell us the greatest demand for services right now in the community, have you had an opportunity to really get the 30,000 foot view and look out at the field and say, okay, we need to fill this, we need to do that? Or are you still in this phase where it's like, okay, what services are we providing? Mm-hmm. How many people are getting provided, and who's falling through the cracks that we need to find?
Absolutely. I think I'm still in the learning phase of that. And for me, looking at the numbers from last year, we just started a new fiscal year. And so we came into it in October. And so learning what the numbers were last year and where that need has increased from the previous year, and it is increasing, and it's going to continue to increase to 2035, I think, where older adults will outnumber kids.
Our boomers are...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
The numbers are just going. And what we're seeing is not an older adult coming in using one service. It's an older adult coming in using several of the services. And so it's not just a you come in, you get what you need, and you go. You come in, you get what you need, you move to this, you move to this, you move around. And so really the answer to that question is it's a robust need. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of everything all in one that people are utilizing at the hub.
Almost like going to a larger department mm-hmm. type of service. Where now you got to go see this head, you got to go see that head, you got to, like, going up to the VA.
That's exactly right.
Schedule everything for one day, so I just got to spend the whole day up there.
Yeah.
Which is good to hear, because the hub's services, I think a lot of people have been a little apprehensive as of late with the funding cuts and the things that we know. I mean, we can really see it on the horizon. I think people are a little worried.
Sure. Yeah. So for us, I mean, we've got some funding capped from our Wyoming State Services Board, where that leaves us about $120,000 gap for next year. And so there are some things that we have to do. We're not cutting programs. I mean, that's just one of our things that our board is really strong on. We're going to continue to serve the community because that's what's needed. And so it'll come. We'll figure it out. And that's one of those things that like our Holiday Spirit campaign that's going on right now, is a huge help from the community, because if you look at our finance side of things, you know, we got 40% coming from state and federal funding, 30% coming from like program contribution type things. And then the rest, essentially 20% or so comes from the community and the generosity of foundations and individuals and things like that. And that's the kind of the campaign we're in now. And that's been a huge success thus far. And we just want to continue that as we go down the road.
And that 20% has become so vital.
It has. It really has. It's one of those things that we couldn't continue doing what we're doing without the support of the community. And the support of the community has been phenomenal. I mean, there's not enough thanks in my mouth to be able to recognize how much that they've been putting forward and stepping up. And a lot of that comes with awareness. And that's one of the things that we need is just the awareness of what the hub does out there in the community. And so we can get that, man. We can hopefully garnish some more support and have some more friends of the hub come alongside us.
On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll have more with the hub on Smith right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
Bricks and mortar, sticks and stone, a house is a house until you make it a home. Sandbox, hopscotch, yardstick on the wall, backyard soccer goal, laughter down the hall. This is Lisa Hansen with MC2 Realty. Don't settle for the first house that works. Let's find the one that's home. I'll put my years of experience and extensive knowledge of the local market to work for you. Buy or sell with confidence. Call me, Lisa Hansen, at 307-763-3964. And we'll start your home journey today.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
The following message is presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, online at efirstfederal.bank.
Hello, Tom Heber with the Natural History Museum of Wyoming. Do you have a passion for dinosaurs? Want to see our kids get out in the field and enjoy getting their hands dirty and help our veterans with their mental health? Then consider a board position for the Natural History Museum of Wyoming. Contact us today at nhmofwyoming.org if you are interested in being a board member.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Hub on Smith Executive Director, Dustin Stevens. Now, Mr. Stevens, from your perspective, if we were to look at what the hub needs from the community right now, the most, what would you say that was?
I would be unfair to you, and I think I would split it into three things instead of just one thing. And one thing we kind of just mentioned a minute ago was the awareness of what the hub does. And if you know somebody who needs our services, send them to us. Or come have lunch with us. Come have breakfast. Come hang out and just see what the hub does. So there's an awareness there. And that's the first thing. The second thing would be volunteers. We always need volunteers. I mean, volunteers are kind of the heartbeat of what we do. Dining room support, Daybreak, our older adult, like kind of daycare services.
Absolutely.
I mean, all sorts of events that we hold. I mean, there's all sorts of things that are just always happening. And so volunteers is another thing. And the third thing and obvious thing as well is the financial support. It keeps our services steady and available and predictable. So we can continue to plan and serve older adults in our community.
Looking back, you know, we did a few things with the senior center where I live. And I always loved to see my daughter interacting with the seniors at the center because I felt like there was a passing of knowledge and experience that she didn't get from me. there's a lot of different people in this world, and there's a lot of different things going on. And to be able to sit with someone who's kind of been there, done that, provides so much for young people. And I would love to see the hub just kind of fill up with great young high school age volunteers. Mm-hmm. And the conversations that could be had at those tables would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. We've heard, I love seeing the young people there. It is one of those gifts that just keeps on giving as far as that goes. And I think once they're intimidated coming in, when you see some young people come in, but as soon as they start those conversations, man, it's a fantastic thing. We had a family come in and help serve our Thanksgiving meal and do some stuff with that. It was phenomenal to see mom, dad, and all the young kids come in together and wipe tables down and talk to the older adults. There are patrons that are there. And it was just a blessing to watch that. Those intergenerational relationships are huge.
Absolutely.
What better way to pass on knowledge than to just have those conversations and sit together.
And from both sides.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, with the advance of things going on around us, I mean, you and I came up, think about, you know, we watched the shift from an analog world to a touchscreen world. And even for me, and I'm only 45 years old, and yet looking over my shoulder, I'm like, holy cow, this is a completely different landscape than what I remember. Yeah. And I find myself in these little moments going, I'm not going to bother learning that, you know? And I know there's a lot of people out there who have. I'm asking my daughter all the time, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. What is that? How do you guys do this? So I think that the exchange of knowledge and experiences definitely goes both ways on that one.
Yeah.
It would be really helpful to kind of teach grandma and grandpa what the emojis mean if you're going to send them to them.
That's right.
Now, are there, as we look forward to 2026, with ground under your feet now, a little bit of road over your shoulder, what are you really looking forward to as we go into this new year?
Well, I mean, we have to look forward. You have to look back a little bit and see the history. And that's one of the things that I've been learning as I've been here. And it's been a tumultuous year, making some cuts. Made a $500,000 cut this last year.
Wow.
Before my time coming in. And so that was huge. And so looking from that, my direction is pretty simple. It's strengthen the foundation, take great care of people, and become sustainable. Those are my three bigs. And so the foundation side, we really want strong basics, clear systems, good training, consistent operations, responsible financial planning. So our programs are steady and dependable. The second one is really the people, taking great care of people is that staff, that's volunteers, that's every person that walks into the front doors of the hub. We want a culture to be warm and welcoming, which it is. We just want to continue that and bolster that as much as we possibly can. And that third one I mentioned is sustainability. And that's a big one. That's a big one right now. It means strengthening our community partnerships, being thoughtful and measured about any changes that we make, and ensuring everything we do is built to last for the long haul, because we have a lot of people coming up that are going to be using the hub services, and we want to be ready for that.
And it broke my heart. You know, I've been talking with Ryan about this for a while, and it's you've got an entire generation that has reached that stage of, okay, we're seniors now. Mm-hmm. Now what do we do, and what services are available? And that's the time that funding gets pulled back. Yep. You know, one of the greatest generational jumps into a senior age group that this country has ever seen, and funding is pulled back.
Yep.
And I just have to sit back and wonder, how are we going to bridge this gap? Yep. And so someone brought up the Senior Citizen Service District.
Yes.
What is the hub's role in the development of this going forward to present to the voters?
Yeah. So really for us, we're kind of for lack of a better term, a user of the senior district. That doesn't exist yet, but when it does, we would apply to get funding from the district. So really it's a separate entity. So it's something that the hub doesn't own by any stretch. It's just something that we would apply for and get funding from if that goes through with the voters. And so for us, I mean, it would be a huge help. it would be a financial bolstering of the programs that we have. I mean, we run gaps in most of our programs. I mean, we run a $250,000 gap in our meal program.
Wow.
And so like this would help fill that gap in applying for it. And so for us in the senior district, we would absolutely talk positive about it and say it would absolutely help the hub. And the cool thing about it is when a senior district is approved, there's a board that's elected to oversee it. It's one of those things where Sheridan money stays in Sheridan. It doesn't go to Cheyenne and get distributed and do all these crazy things. For us, it's Sheridan money stays in Sheridan and helps senior services, whoever applies for it and gets the award, and helps our older adults directly. So it's very specific and very localized, and it's a beautiful thing that would we would hope would pass.
Now, over the course of the next year, I imagine a lot of people are going to be pretty curious that if this district is created mm-hmm. and voted in, how's the money going to get spent? So you might get some folks through that front door sure. going, give me a tour. Show me how this is going to be going down. Oh. Because as you said, you're not going to be the only ones, you know, utilizing this. Mm-hmm. This is a public thing.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you are probably going to be utilizing a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get some, you know, curiosity, some folks that are apprehensive about any kind of new district mm-hmm. or tax coming through the door. What would you tell them?
I'd say, come visit us. Come through those front doors. I love the curiosity, because once that curiosity hits and you come walk through the front doors and see the services that the hub provides, then you'll realize, those are valuable things for our seniors. And I would welcome people. Come have lunch with us. Come volunteer for a day. Come sit at daybreak for 30 minutes. Come chat with me. Come eat breakfast and hang out with us and see what our dementia-friendly Wyoming is doing with those services and come to one of our events, of our many events that happen with Fun and Wellness, and just check it out. And I think that's the biggest thing, is once people realize all the ins and outs that the hub does, they'll realize how valuable those services are to the community. So I would welcome people to come in.
And I imagine you're probably going to get a few.
That's great.
Which I think would be great for mm-hmm. them to come in and learn just exactly how this is all used. Now, is there a message or anything that you would like to tell to the community as the new executive director of the Hub on Smith? I know you've spoken with others, but this is the first time I've gotten you on the yep. show. What would you like listeners to know?
I would again pinpoint the same thing. I want people to understand what the Hub does, and I want people to see what the Hub does, because in reality, our volunteers and especially our employees and the people that come around the Hub work so hard day in and day out to serve our older adults. And so I want people to be aware of the services that we provide. And so I would say, again, come check us out. Come see what we do. Come spend the day. Come spend an hour. Come spend 10 minutes and just see what we do. Because it is a valuable thing for the community. And the other thing I would say is we are working to become as firm a foundation as sustainable as possible. And so come join in that mission with us and be able to do that over the next several years up in, you know, that generation that's coming up till 2035, that's going to outnumber those kids. We're going to continue to see those things grow and grow and grow. And we want to be able to provide services for anybody who walks through their front doors.
See a need,
fill a
need.
That's exactly right.
If someone wanted to contribute to your campaign, how would they do that right now?
Well, they can visit us at thehubsheridan.org. There's a Give Now button at the top right of the screen. They can click that, and it walks them through the process there. They can send a check to 211 Smith Street. They can go to our Facebook page, shoot us a message on there. They can give us a call. There's all sorts of different ways that they can jump in and do that. But probably the easiest way is thehubsheridan.org.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. It was an absolute pleasure learning more about you and getting to meet you. Yeah. And I hope to see more of you.
Thanks, Floyd. I appreciate it. Thanks for your service.
Thank you. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Aaron Butler, Executive Director of the Weill Performing Arts and Education Center. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Some banks answer to shareholders.
First Federal Bank and Trust answers to the community.
Because as a mutual bank, everyone benefits. Profits stay local.
supporting nonprofits and community programs with decades of local roots and modern online and mobile banking that fits your life.
More than a bank.
A mutual commitment.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
January holds a secret, a fire hidden beneath winter's deepest cold. It's called garnet, January's gemstone. It's long been associated with protection, passion, strength, and lasting friendship, making it a meaningful choice for gifts. At Legacy Diamond and Gems in Sheridan, see garnets already designed for purchase or speak with their experts to craft a piece as unique as the stone itself. Jewelry forged in winter, worn forever. A legacy. Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main Street in Sheridan. Online at LegacyDiamondGems.com.
Moss Holders Design Center is here to help you create a space that you'll love. If you're relocating, remodeling, or just refreshing your home, Moss Holders talented design team can help you through the process. With free in-home consultations, Moss Holders will be able to find the furniture and finishing touches that work best with your space, your lifestyle, and your budget. So if you want to change the look of just one room or furnish an entire home, Moss Holders designers can get it done. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
When it comes to Wyoming, your roof takes the hits. Hail, wind, snow, and sun. That's why Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors installs metal roofing built to last. From commercial-grade R-panel, residential metal roofs, and our impact-resistant 24-gauge standing seam systems, every option is engineered for strength, longevity, and performance. When you want protection that lasts a lifetime, call Brandon 307 for your free inspection. Quality materials, quality installation, local experience you can count on. Visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Say hello to the future of choosing your dream kitchen or bath. Buffalo Stone and Tile now house Wyoming's first 100% self-serve showroom. Open every day 7:30 to 7. Granite, quartz, porcelain tile, luxury vinyl plank, faucets, hardware, thousands of today's hottest finishes, all ready for you to explore on your schedule. Just stop by, call the number on the door, and get buzzed in. No appointments, no pressure. Buffalo Stone and Tile, 1402 Sugarland Drive, behind WyoVision. Self-serve, stress-free, seriously gorgeous. Design help available by appointment.
In Wyoming, the weather and road conditions can change at the drop of a hat. If you're planning a trip and you want to know what the latest conditions are, turn to Sheridan Media for the latest road and travel report. Our staff sweeps the state to keep you up to date on current and changing conditions. So when you need to know, we'll have the answer. Sheridan Media road and travel reports are brought to you in part by Heartland Kubota, J.R. Moore at 307 Real Estate, Peak Pest Control, and Ed's Body Shop.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by WYO Performing Arts and Education Center Executive Director, Aaron Butler. Good morning. Happy New Year, my friend.
Good morning. Yeah, Happy New Year. 2026.
2026. Woo! Man, when I was young.
I know, right?
This was so far in the future.
Yeah. Like 2000 was unimaginable.
No way was I going to make it to 2026. No way. Going to have flying cars.
Oh my gosh.
Flying skateboards. And yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
Still stuck on the ground, my friend.
It's fair. Yeah, it's true. But there's lots of things have changed. Lots of things have changed.
It looks like you guys have got a really, really busy January.
Yeah, it's funny. And when I was sending you that list, I was like, whoa, we got a lot of stuff.
There's a lot going on down there.
It's so busy. January, you know, once upon a time, I think I've said this to you before, but there are months throughout the year that were less full. You know what I mean? Just for various reasons. January usually was one of them because of the weather and just, you know, I don't know, a number of reasons.
Everyone kind of battens down the hatches,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that has changed. And that is one of the reasons, I know you had Gene on last week, but that is one of the reasons that Gene and Craig at the time helped to start the Westerns, because there was like nothing happening in January.
Still January was right? Something, right?
And it's, of course, we're still, you know, it's, the Westerns are so amazing. We're so glad to have them. But gosh, we keep getting more and more full.
The padding around them is getting a little thicker.
Yeah, true. It's true. It's true, yeah. We don't have a lot of empty dates in our calendar, I'll say that.
Well, what, I mean, whenever I go to the Y, I see you walk in the loft, sticking your head out of the office. What's it like to see so much life and activity down there at the YO Performing Arts and Education Center now? I mean, ever since I started, it's always kind of been like this, but the programs have expanded. The doors are constantly open now. You've got kids and seniors and so many people going back and forth. What's that like to see your place kind of become a beehive of activity?
It's cool. It's really exciting. It's a couple different things, but often, you know, I'll be in my office and I can hear, like, just we had Dugan Urgubi on this last Saturday. And I can hear him warming up, you know, and rehearsing and sound checking. And it's just sort of like, I never take that for granted. Every time that happens, I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm listening to this happen right now, and this is my job. It's crazy. And people just have so much ownership of the space, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
But mostly good. And yeah, not just the events that are happening on the main stage. You know, the third floor is always rented out or busy or have rehearsals. And the second floor now is getting quite busy. And the dance studio is constantly busy. You know, it's just like, it's hard to remember which doors to lock.
Yeah. And when to leave which ones open.
And when do we leave these open? And, you know, we need a better system. But
That's a great way to put
it. Oh, it's so crazy.
What a fantastic way to put that. Because, I mean, there are kids in these dance classes now. The YO is going to be something completely different to them when they're an adult than it was for a lot of individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and some people, it wasn't anything until it basically re-blossomed. So thinking about 10, 20 years down the line, the importance, the memories made in this place are going to be such a huge part of community members' lives.
Yeah, it's pretty special. And even now, you know, there was a mom who came in, oh gosh, it was months and months ago, but she was asking about the names on the seats. Which we will do eventually. We will redo that eventually, but not yet. Anyway, she was, you know, how do I get my name or how can I put my kids' names on the seats? I grew up dancing here. And I just, when I come and see my kids now dance here, it just, you know, she said it just means so much. And I want to be able to, like, I don't know, have a place. And I was like, that's crazy. It's crazy.
It just means so
it's
much
so cool.
to people.
Yeah, it's really neat.
I mean, a lot of individuals.
What an honor, you know?
And someone's going to walk away from a concert. That's their first one at the YO. Someone's going to walk away from an old Western movie.
Oh, my gosh. And the Westerns, this is such a great example because we've been doing them since 2009. And there are, I don't know if there's anyone who's been there throughout all the years, except for Gene, of course. But it is like family homecoming week, you know, when the first Western rolls around, which we just had this last Sunday. And it's, you know, it's the people that come, it's that same group of people and they love seeing each other and they love seeing the Westerns. And it's a blast.
It's become its own little community.
For sure.
Almost like a Comic-Con for Westerns.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Buck Brannaman hosted this last film and we were treated with some rope tricks.
Oh, fantastic.
Which was so cool. And it was just, I don't know, it's neat. It's a neat place to be. So,
I mean, it has really taken on kind of a life of its own. Mm-hmm. And just like the film festival that you guys
absolutely.
Hold.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's going to bring in its own crowd. And then you got the individuals who stop by because the kids are performing. I mean, everybody's got a stake in this place.
Agreed.
That includes the individuals who love to go in there and watch that Met Live.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm going to transition us into the schedule. I'm running out of time.
I know. We can pick and choose.
Okay. Yeah. So next Met Live.
Yes, Saturday, January 10th. That's this Saturday. Bellini's Puritani. Say it wrong. So this will be our first Met in 2026, and this is one of his longer operas, but a story based in real life. Just a really interesting, beautiful piece. So should be a really great show.
You know, I would love to get more students into the theater mm-hmm. at that MetLife mm-hmm. performances because mm-hmm. this is top-notch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in off of a high-deal satellite, right?
Yeah, they've changed the way in which they transmit the broadcast or they broadcast the event, but essentially it's except for those few that we have to record in advance because of our schedule, it's live. So wow. So we're watching what the people in New York are watching at the same time. The thing that's extra cool, I guess, outside of the fact that you're paying way less money for a ticket to the Met, is that they do interviews and stuff backstage, and then they show you how they're changing over the set, and they talk about the show. And so if you're there in New York, of course, you're not getting that experience. So it's extra cool. And there is a teacher, Tony Sawyer, who has been bringing students. So there's this really cool program via the Met Opera in New York, wherein he gets to go there in the summers and do some training. And then he chooses, I think, 4 operas a season to bring his students to. And I've just learned this. I didn't know this. They're required to come. It's part of their grade.
Oh, wow.
So they have to be there, which is great. And so I don't think they have to come to all of them. I think they choose. But essentially, that's 60 kids a time. And we had his group for the Magic Flute. And then also Ariana, who works at Metal Arc School, set up a private screening of the Magic Flute for her students.
That's fantastic.
Which was very cool. I think she had 80 kids or something. So
I mean, it's a pretty great opportunity
yeah.
for especially theater students to yeah. really see, you know, these masters at work.
Yeah. Yeah, and how cool is a kid to be like, I saw an I think it's cool. I don't know, maybe
we're
a
dorks.
Lot of kids would be like, I know, right? They're probably like, that yeah. was so lame. I'd be like, I just saw an opera. That's so cool.
Yeah, I can remember the first opera I sat and watched.
Yeah.
And it was live, and it wasn't done by professionals. It was right. done by students at yeah. a college.
Yeah.
But it still sticks with me.
Oh, so powerful.
I was really moved.
I am always impressed by the fact that those musicians, those artists, do not have amplification. Right,
yeah.
They don't use mics.
Yep,
and those halls are huge.
Yeah,
and they fill the space with their voice. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Incredible
yeah.
talent.
Yeah.
All right, classic Western film series. The next one, yep. Destry Rides Again.
Destry Rides
Mr.
Again.
Mr. Craig Johnson's going to be hosting this one.
Oh yes, we're looking forward to it. To Jimmy Stewart and Marlena Dietrich. So this is the second of the original, which is Destry, and so this is the follow up to that film. And Gene probably mentioned this season we're doing, or his sort of vision was comedic Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
So they all have sort of a hint or a bit of comedy. And
bit
of course,
tongue in cheek here.
Yeah, this yeah. one's, you know, it's if you know Destry, you're going to like Destry Rides Again. It's fun.
Moving on down the line, Valor Academy. What is this?
Mm-hmm. They've been renting our space for a couple of years now. They put on a great show every year. This year, they're doing a hilarious-sounding event performance called The Tragicomedy of Julia Caesar, and that's going to be Friday, January 16th and Saturday, January 17th. Tickets are on sale now, so check it out.
Another classic Western. This is going to be January 18th. Mm-hmm. There Was a Crooked Man, hosted by our own Bob Grammons.
Yes, indeed. This will be... It's the newest film in the series. Gene is always pretty thoughtful about trying to, you know, in the term of the word classic, wanting to make it pre-70s.
Yeah.
This is a little after the 70s.
But it's not the spaghetti.
No. Mm-mm. So it has that sort of funny comedic bent to it. And I don't know. We haven't had Bob in a while, so that'll be really... really great to have him.
It's great to get him
show.
Up on stage.
You bet.
Out from behind the microphone every once in a while.
Yeah.
Get him out there talking to some folks. All right. Now, Shimmer,
mm-hmm.
A Winter Cirque
Reverie.
Yeah. What the heck is it?
Cool. It's a Cirque. Cirque Light is what I like to say, because our stage is not big enough at all, even close, to accommodate Cirque du Soleil show. But it is circus. So it's, you know, sort of Cirque-like, Cirque-esque. All the things you might expect from a circus. There will be things hanging from the top of the stage and people blowing giant bubbles and walking inside. It's going to be great.
What does it take to get the Wyo ready for something like that? Because that's kind of a different performance, isn't it? That's mm-hmm. very much a specialty thing. There's a yeah. lot of holy cow wow moments. Mm-hmm. There's some danger involved in mm-hmm. this stuff. What does it take to prep up?
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated than just say like a musician. Yeah, usually a lot more complicated. You know, traditional circus, as we might know it, is slightly easier for us to accommodate based on the size of our stage. So that is, you know, a lot of juggling and acrobatics and what's it called? Distortion? No. Anyway.
Like a tumbling?
Yes. Type? Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of thing. Cirque is a little more complicated because of what Cirque du Soleil has created it to be. So often they are wanting to hang things from our grid, and those folks come and do that themselves. It's not as spectacular on our stage as it is in a larger venue.
Right.
Just based on the size of the stage, right? So the thing that's hanging from the top of the thing, you know, the space between the opening of the proscenium arch is much more shallow than a lot of other theaters. So it's still very, very cool. It just doesn't have quite that same grandeur. Not to say that it's not going to be awesome.
No, it's going to be
amazing. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. But it is... It's difficult to find a show that will fit on our stage that is in a Cirque style.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's odd to think, you know, when you're actually standing up on that stage, mm-hmm. it's crazy to think, well, this just isn't big enough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because that stage is huge.
Well, it is. It and isn't. It's once you get up there, you sort of recognize how really small it is.
If when it comes to actual space, you can use.
Yeah.
For the performance. Yep. Moving on down the line, Cowboy, hosted by our own Tommy B.
You bet. It's the final Western in the series, and that'll be Sunday, January 25th. And Gene, I know, mentioned this. We're at raffling off one of his custom knives. So that will be the day that prize gets drawn.
It's a beautiful night.
It's so awesome. Tickets are relatively inexpensive, and you can get them at the YO when you come in for the Western.
All right. Now, this is the one I really wanted to hit while I've got you here. Auditions for the Stars of Tomorrow. This mm-hmm. is something I covered in other cities. I love this program.
Mm.
Stars of Tomorrow is probably mm-hmm. one of my favorite things that local theaters hold, and it happens all over the place. Mm-hmm. Tell me about ours.
Yeah, so we're excited to have Stars back at the YO this year. They will have auditions the 27th of January and then the 28th as well at 6 p.m. And then their show, I don't actually remember when it is. I think it's in March. Yes, it's at the end of March. So this is a great opportunity for any young person to come and, you know, try their luck, see if they get a move on up into
the
categories. Yeah, see what they have. So it's a great event, as you said, and it's always revealing to the talent in our community. It's exciting.
Oh, there's some individuals around here that are soft-spoken, but once they get up on that stage, they blow your mind.
You bet.
Blow your mind. All right. You've also got Vitamin String
Quartet. Yeah,
wanted to make sure I got that.
We're really excited about this because we've been trying to get this group here for years. A gentleman who grew up here, Winton Grant, is part of this musical group, and it's going to be spectacular. They don't generally come to venues our size, so we're extra honored to have them here, and then to have, of course, Winton to be able to perform on the stage as a professional now. You know, he grew up through what used to be Tandem. And did a ton of stuff at the YO, of course, as he was younger. And so now as a professional to come and perform is really cool.
It's a real homecoming for him.
Oh, we're thrilled. And of course he'll have an opportunity to do a ton of outreach, with some of the schools and those sorts of things. So it's going to be neat.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, real quick, I got about a minute and a half with you. Auditions, Sheridan County School District Number 3, the Middle School Drama Club.
Yep, this is part of our YO Play program. So if you're a middle school kid in School District 3, That's either Bighorn Middle School or Tongue River Middle School will be hosting auditions for a show called A Night Under the Stars, January 13th and 14th. Callie Smith will be providing more information for those students. But if you have a young person who's interested in theater, this is a great way to get them involved.
I just absolutely love YO Play and everything that goes on in that program.
Yeah.
Fantastic opportunities for kids that just were not here beforehand.
Yeah, it's fun. And this one's really fun because they rehearse pieces of the show separately, Bighorn and Tongue River, and then they come together for like 3 days at the YO and put the whole show together as a group.
Yeah, you and cool. I have talked about those in the past. That's it's probably pretty cool. Pretty amazing to see those
kids. It's remarkable,
together.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, creative aging, classes begin.
Yes, we register it. If you want to participate in our creative aging classes, 55 and up, registration is required. So that will be on our website soon. We'll be doing a movement class with Stephanie Koltiska starting February 4th, and then a harmonica class with Mr. Mike Evers starting February 6th.
Aaron, thank you so much for coming on, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I could get you in here.
I appreciate it.
Last, your scheduled appearance, we were all at home.
It was like the first, right?
We were all doing something different.
That's right.
Thank you so much, my friend. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Here's what makes First Federal Bank and Trust different.
No shareholders, just shared values and profits that are reinvested locally, supporting nonprofits to help our community thrive.
Mutual means more for our communities.
With years of trusted local service and modern banking tools that make life easier, mutual means more.
First Federal Bank and Trust, banking with shared values. Member FDIC.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Hi, it's Good Luck Chuck Bagheera here, VIP in the Carroll's Furniture First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. Want to hear what happened this week on the Crow Morning Show? Have a listen.
Chuck is not with us today. Couldn't make the show this morning. So Chuck was 8 points. Should I do my impression of Chuck?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let me get ready here. So I don't laugh.
Well, it's a whole performance.
Well, you know, I was right in the middle. Really like that.
And I'll take it, Bob.
I'll take that.
Everybody.
If I close my eyes, it's like he's really here.
You gotta talk a little bit more, though. No, James. Oh, yeah. 8 points. So that's my impression of Chuck.
There you go. Okay. Well, Chuck's hosting. I had no idea.
Chuck's hosting the show. Good luck, Chuck.
James the Bookie Timberlake here. You can't win if you don't play. This week, you could win $100 in chamber bucks courtesy of Cleary Building Company. Just click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest and promotions page on SheridanMedia.com. And tune into the KROE Morning Show every Wednesday morning at 7:40 on AM 930 and 103.9 FM to hear my picks and all of Bob's impressions.
This announcement is brought to you by Farmers Co-op, your farm and ranch supply store on Coffin Avenue.
Sheridan County has been filled with fascinating people, places, and events. Dive deep into these stories with Sheridan Community Land Trust Explore History, the second Tuesday of each month at the Hub on Smith at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday at the Tongue River Valley Community Center in Dayton at 10:30 a.m. Explore History is free to attend and open to all. Explore this month's program at SheridanCLT.org.